What if I told you everything you know about the world is wrong?
Dear Lord, what if I told you that all the things I believe to be impossible are in fact very much possible?
Reality is not what you think it is. It is so much more complicated, fascinating, and above all,
Lord, is terrifying.
We're at the fringes of the map.
And there's more than just dragons. In your name I pray. Amen.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm the Marshal. The man who's claimed... I am George Maynard. The man who is claiming to be George Maynard, he is Morgan Clanton.
Is this guy shitting me?
Look, it doesn't seem like he's shitting you. Everything else, you like reviewing everything else in your mind, any other interaction, not obviously the amount of interactions you've had are limited with this prisoner,
right.
But everything previously you've seen, like he has only ever been furious or violent with the sheriff, no one else. You remember when the Reverend was asking him, oh, did the sheriff shoot first? And he freaked the fuck out. Like he was pissed off that Clanton,
right,
or Maynard or whoever it is, the other guy was being referred to as the Marshal. He was furious. It seemed this all like locks into place. This seems correct.
Okay, I look at him. I believe you. I can't let you loose right now.
You gotta help me, man. You gotta fucking help me.
I'll do what I can to help you. But if
what do you mean you left him alone with the...
Can I put the fucking gag back in there and close the mask up again?
The Marshal or the fake Marshal struggles. He doesn't want to be re-gagged, but there's not much he can do. You re-gag him.
And I continue as close as I can to his voice. I start spouting off like some cowboy soliloquy.
The door slams open, and with all the piss and vinegar that he had on day one, George Maynard, the Marshal or the fake Marshal, re-enters this car. He looks at you standing very close to his prisoner, and he says, what the devil do you think you're fucking doing?
I immediately look very sheepish and small. I go, this is terribly embarrassing. I've always rather been enamored with the cowboy mythos of the West, and I, being face to face with this bound desperado, I
the Marshal shoots the roof.
Whoa!
Skedaddle!
Skedaddling!
Meanwhile, you enter the rear cargo train. There is further crates, luggage, and stuff here. In addition, you see one massive crate. It's vaguely human-sized, I suppose, just not necessarily saying there's a person in it, just to give you an idea of the size of this thing. You see stamped on it, like seared into the wood, is the word Blackwatch, and then just beneath it, there's like a crest.
Does Blackwatch or the crest mean anything to me?
Through history, there have been many, like, quotation marks, paranormal investigation groups and whatnot. There used to be a thing you know of, you've heard of a thing called the Longhouse. Every now and then, it becomes popular again and resurfaces. But the Longhouse is kind of like a group of loosely amalgamated paranormal investigator sort of stuff. It was really popular in the 1700s. It's kind of making a resurgence today as well, which is probably why you've heard of it. The Longhouse, or the modern Longhouse, always, or whatever Longhouse is happening at the time, always likes to trace its origin to the previous Longhouses, but there's actually not a lot of connection that you know of, at least. It's kind of just like, I don't know, imagine if the Knights Templar came and went every now and then.
Okay.
There have been other smaller, localized sort of groups that become interested in the occult. Blackwatch is kind of like a pseudo-government entity. It's one of them. It was formed a little while ago. The details are kind of hazy. No one really knows exactly when it was formed, but it was formed maybe about 50 to 100 years ago. They're mostly just treated as like... You know how there was that president that believed there was mole people and organized an expedition to the North Pole to drill down into the center? This is real life. This happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of just treated like that, like as a curiosity, a historical oddity.
Oh, that's peculiar.
And the crest of arms is... So Blackwatch actually originates in the UK, but there are arms in other governments around the world. No one's really sure how it happens, but someone presumably with enough wealth and influence, it goes to world governments and is like, hey, can we do this here? And they get yeses sometimes. And this crest would be related to a chapter that you know that exists in the South Americas.
I would say I found out about this during the war of having some like conspiracy nuts bring this stuff up.
Well, absolutely. There were like two competing Black Watches during the Civil War.
All right. So I see that, I clock that, and it brings back all these memories of these discussions and potentially seeing one of the crests at some point and like somebody trying to represent it and I go, oh, well, great. And I look around and I go, just more press and stuff. I look towards the floor and see if I can see any more blood trails or things that would have been shifted around.
Going from this car, you step outside and it becomes really like really noisy, air, the train, whatnot. Then when you step into the next one, you're like, oh, it just isn't here. It's not like it dries up. It's not like it goes anywhere. It stops from the previous car to this one. You don't think whoever was bleeding came into this car?
Well, that I had an idea of where they went based on our first real talking and meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I gauge that. I go, well, it seems like they just disappeared.
Oh, that crate, by the way, that crate with the Blackwatch stamp on it, you see that there's a little hole in it. As you're standing there, Agent Watson walks over to it one more time. You see he gives like kind of a furtive glance around. Like he genuinely looks to see if anyone's in the immediate vicinity. And then you see he just quickly peers in through the hole.
Agent Watson, you don't have to answer my question. This is just a curiosity of things I heard during the war. Are you a part of this Black Watch? Is that what you're an agent of?
He looks at you and he looks at Sing. Yes, I work for the government.
And part of the Black Watch division. I've heard a lot of stories about them during the war.
I work mostly with antiquities, he says. You believe him. You think, yeah, he must... You're like, well, I suppose... Like, you're like, well, the supernatural can't be real. That's impossible. So maybe the real Black Watch just deals with antiquities. That makes sense.
A lot of crazy stories with them. Just... Oh, it sounds like nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's campfire stories, he says. Anyway, we should leave, he says. And he starts ushering everyone back. Yeah, as he's doing that, you hear a gunshot.
Well, great. I go out and as I'm walking, I look up towards the, like when I'm outside in between the cars, I look up to see if I can clock the Australian woman on top.
You don't see hide nor hair of her, but you do notice that there is damage to the outside of the train. There's little, like, tiny little holes. It looks maybe like bullet holes, but you don't get a great look at them.
All right.
There's several of them going up along the side to the roof.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then you're ushered in, and you see the standoff between the marshal and Edwards.
I look back at Agent Watson. This is not my jurisdiction. I'm not a cop.
I skedaddle.
You rush past the marshal. Agent Watson puts a hand on your shoulder, Reverend, and says, get out of here. I got to have a word with the marshal.
Yes, sir. Thank you for indulging me for looking for her. I'll let you know if we find her.
As you leave, you hear Agent Watson giving the marshal a fucking earful of it. And as you walk, you see that several people are, like, excitedly congregating in the hallway again. Like, a second gunshot. What could that be? Miguel starts trying to disperse them. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Everyone back to your rooms.
Is there a way from my room that I would know that I would be able to safely peek out and look on the roof? Or have I seen in between cars that there are ladders towards the roof of the train?
There are no ladders to the roof of the train in between any of the regular ones. So between the passenger car and the last passenger car and the first cargo car, there was a ladder there. You do remember seeing that there's a ladder on the caboose as well, on the exterior rear of the caboose, and probably one on the engine, between the engine and the coal car, and then probably between the coal car and the first dining car. But you, yeah, the ladders aren't on every single one of the cars.
Okay.
Are we in the same car together again, or is he still in the...
No, you're in the same car again. Yeah.
I try to catch his eye and sort of indicate with a little...
Okay. I look at Singh and I go, if you find her and you need some help, please let me know. I'll keep an eye out as well.
Yeah, I'm going to look out for her, Singh says.
All right. What did you do?
Not now. Come this way. And back into our room, and one of the rooms, and close the door. What did you find?
Well, I'm pretty sure that she went onto the roof or ditched because the trail stopped between the first cargo car and the second one.
Now, it seems unlikely that she left the train. It hasn't stopped.
Well, she was forcefully thrown from it.
Possible. I talked to the prisoner.
All right. Well, yeah. Wait, I mean, did you hear,
No. Talked to him.
I'm sure he loved that.
He claims...
Wait a minute. Sorry. You talked to him, but he talked back to you.
Yes.
Did you take off his mask?
Yes, I took off his mask.
Are you crazy? Oh, fair. All right. Well, what did this criminal say to you?
So he claims that he is Marshal Maynard and that the Marshal Maynard we've been talking to is, in fact, Mr. Clanton.
Well, of course he would say that.
Here's the thing. I'm inclined to believe him.
Why? He's locked up. He's obviously done some terrible things. I don't think anyone good would end up in that exact situation.
Listen, you don't convince auditoria full of people that you can see into the next world without being pretty good at reading folks. And I don't think he's lying to me.
He did seem pretty forthcoming with helping us find the person as well. He seemed very angry about the marshal. Oh, all right. Well, the Lord detests lying lips. So we should keep an eye out for, well, whoever is the problem here. Oh, no, the marshal is a criminal.
Where are you having this conversation?
One of our two rooms.
You hear boom, 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 and then a banging on one of your two doors. Like someone knocking.
Is it the one we're in?
Odds or evens?
Odds.
It is.
What are the odds?
Boom, 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 boom. You hear Singh's voice. Are you in there?
Yes. I open the door.
I need your help right away. You hear a scream from the next passenger car. Come on, we've got to go in right now.
What is happening?
I found her.
All right.
I follow.
The French debutante, you see that she's like she's got her hand to her head. She's half fainting and she's looking into one of the rooms. As you approach the room, you turn around and see a bloody display. The Australian woman, Jeannie Richardson, she's wearing that stealth suit that you saw her wearing last night. She has on her feet, you recognize crampons, those like shoes that you use for climbing. And she has in either of her hands, she has the ice pick things that you use to climb as well. You can see the window to this train car is open and there is obvious signs of a struggle. There is blood all over the place, and she is covered in cuts.
Covered in cuts?
Singh moves to pick her up, and he says, take her to my room. I've got medical equipment.
Yes, sir.
I'll take the head. You carry the legs. Quickly now.
All right.
I'll get the doors.
All right. No, sure enough. Well, there will be several closed doors, so you get the closed doors. As you're doing this, once again, the train begins to assemble where you are. With the notable exceptions of Otis Bismarck and his bodyguard, Sol Moreno, you notice that that strange man with the poncho, he isn't here either. And then finally, at a certain point, Miguel peels off and you don't know why. But everyone else, including the marshal and Agent Watson, eventually show up. You move to Singh's room, where Singh begins trying to bandage and perform medicine on her. Would you like to assist?
Absolutely.
You spot a bullet wound where she was shot, but that is definitely not what is killing her. The bullet wound is probably in like her arm, and you can see it's a through and through. It does not look in any way like a bad wound. She is definitely dying from all of these cuts, and there is not a lot you can do to save her.
Does this look like knife cuts, like nail cuts? Like, what kind of cuts are these?
They're massive gashes that you can tell they were either made by a very big knife or a very sharp knife. Actually, you could probably tell it wouldn't necessarily need to have been a very big knife. Just a very sharp knife could have done this.
Well, this wasn't done exactly by an Arkansas toothpick, tell you that much. But this looks to be very sharp. Definitely a weapon of some sort. Like, I don't know. Someone has to have a knife on them or something.
How's she doing? Is she conscious?
She's breathing heavily. She is not conscious.
Singh, did she say anything? Was there anyone coming out of the room that she was in? Anything?
Singh shakes his head. I just found her like this. She was in her room.
I'm going to crouch down next to her head and I don't know, like get a wet rag or whatever and like press it to her forehead and ask her, or like just keep her talking.
You talk to her. She doesn't respond much, but every now and then you see her eyes flutter and she tries to say something in response to what you're saying, but it doesn't look like she has enough air to say anything.
I am going to try and remember with the eidetic memory who was on the side of the car that we would have been on compared to her and who was on the other side, trying to gauge who could have come into the room and stabbed her if this was done post shot her moving away from the gunshot scene.
It really depends when it happened. Like if this happened while you were investigating the cargo cars, then it could have been almost anyone who wasn't in the cargo cars. If it happened while you were chatting just now, then it once again could have been mostly anyone except probably the like crew on the train, the porters and the train driver, obviously. You're like trying to go over in your head where people came from and what happened. You don't think Miguel could have possibly done this. Also, Miguel just seems to not be, well, unless he's a great actor, Miguel seems to be very scared at the sight of blood. In fact, right now, you can see Miguel is looking anywhere but inside Singh's room right now.
All right. I would also think it's not the agent or criminal slash marshal because they were yelling at each other.
The marshal, the fake marshal, and Agent Watson could not have done this.
I'm going to try to comfort her as best I can.
All right.
You know, she's clearly dying. I'm going to tell her that she's fine. This is okay. And if I can get any words out of her, like, well, first, I want to comfort this woman. Because this is, even a, you know, a shabby charlatan has some human decency. Doing my best to do that, I'm going to ask her, like, if I can, you know, like, who did this to you?
She tries to gesture for you to come in close.
I lean down with, like, my ear right next to her mouth.
She very faintly tries to say to you, Bren, 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 Bren. And then she dies.
In a very weird, he doesn't know what to do with himself moment with the Reverend, he's going to look at Edwards and go, were you lying to me before about what you can see?
Ho, 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 ho!
A woman has just died. I take off my hat. Now's not the time.
Now would be the time if you were... If you can help this... What happened to this woman not happen to anything else, this is the time. I don't care what kind of sin this could be.
Are there other people still in the car?
Yeah, there are other people still in the car. That soldier, the French soldier, takes his hat off and puts it in his hands out of respect. And you probably see maybe Frieda Dietrich does the same. And, well, Miguel just kind of walks away, quite clearly still scared to see blood or a body now. John Crown, you see, has kind of like a smug expression, if anything. And because you're paying attention, you notice that he mutters it to himself, not saying it to anyone else, but he mutters it loud enough that if you're paying attention to him like you are, you see him say, one finger curls shut.
You're really putting, like, I this would probably be the very first time that I'd give you anything but a fake friendly or real friendly look.
I stop, I take a deep breath and go, excuse me, I need to go get my Bible. I need to read this woman her rats. And I walk out of the room, pushing past, and go to get my Bible. And then come back if nothing else happens.
While that happens, Agent Watson begins trying to disperse people, sending them back to their cabins. By the time you've rummaged around and found your Bible, it's just the three of you, I would say. Oh, four of you, including Dr. Singh.
While the Reverend was getting his Bible, the only thing I could usefully do, I take, you know, the cloth that was there that I was keeping her, you know, like compressing her forehead. I just clean whatever blood is on her face away so she looks a little more presentable.
While you're doing that, Agent Watson, kneeling next to you, says, did she say anything useful, son?
I'm afraid I couldn't make it out.
He nods.
But she recognized whoever did this.
He has like a really dark, sort of very serious expression. I fear this will not be the last.
So I'm going to scoot on. I'm going to scoot on past and open up to a special page that is bookmarked. And you will notice that this is a very used Bible. This is probably the one that he has taken with him through all of his journeys. Not one of the ones he's been selling, not selling, but giving away to people. And he says, God grant a living grace to the departed, rest to the world, peace, and to us and all the faithful, life everlasting, and the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you, Jeannie, always. Amen. And I close up the book, and I put a hand on her shoulder, and I look at Sango. Is there anything you need help with?
I haven't anything to wrap her in.
I got some clothes I can use. I don't need them.
Why don't we see if one of the porters can bring us a clean sheet?
Agent Watson nods. I need to speak to Miguel anyway. He gets up and he walks over to wherever Miguel went.
Or is it just the two of us in the room?
At a certain point, probably. Singh, like, stands up. Both of his hands are bloodied from trying to save her life. He wipes them down on, like, a cloth or something like that he has. And then he says, I'm going to get a drink. Do either of you gentlemen want anything?
Bourbon. Neat. If you don't mind.
Just a water for me, please. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No worries. He walks away. You have a moment together.
I don't. I purpose, like, I very pointedly don't make eye contact with the Reverend. And I start looking for anything unusual if in her, like, pockets and pouches.
On her, like, utility belt, you find her pistol, obviously, and a whip. The pistol is you open the pistol and nearly laugh at the comedy of it. When you crack open her pistol, you see that it isn't loaded.
Oh, God.
You put her pistol down. Her whip crinkles as you move it. You can see that her whip is definitely much used. In addition to that, in her pouches, you find just kind of like odds and ends for climbing. You find one of the pouches is just full of chalk. The two little climbing ice axes look well used and very old, but well looked after. There's like string, a ball of twine, there's some rubber bands. There just appears to be like a lot of different, like anything that you could find in the, you know, an odds and ends drawer that you would have in your kitchen. Anything that you could find in an odds and ends drawer, you could potentially find here. Scissors and tape are
but
in
there's
one
no,
of the pockets.
There's no like clue to what the hell is going on here.
Well, eventually you open one of them and inside is a crumpled up letter. You take that out, open it up, written simply, Dearest Miss Richardson, comma.
I read all of this out loud.
You have been invited to an event starring the Fingers in Ice. Full stop. Your fellow Fingers will enjoy your company upon the Cross All-American, and then it gives the details of this specific train. Should you wish to attend, your objective will be the El Donchetto Man. Full stop. We look forward to seeing you. Signed, a friend.
I tuck that back where it came from.
Well, there's the competition, I guess.
Listen, I'm very fond of you, as I think you know. But don't you ever put me on the spot like that in front of other people again.
I apologize. I've seen a lot of people die in my time, and I've seen you do some strange, though I can't quite understand it, things, and seeing that there's a crate in the back that leads to some possible questionable things in the world. I'm grasping at straws here, and I thought if there was any way to get ahead of it, I'd really do apologize putting you on the spot like that. I was grasping. I just don't want anyone else to die.
Gonna reach into, you know what, I'm deciding that Edwards has this same exact big hokey decision making coin that I have.
Sure.
All right. The number of people who know this was halved recently, down to just me. But considering that we are in something of a situation here, I find it expedient to perhaps let you in on my little secret. I am a fraud and a charlatan, and a genuine medium. The one is to cover up the other. No one would suspect someone having the genuine ability to speak with the dead if he were theatrically and obviously a fraud. And I don't think I need to explain to you why I would want to hide such a thing.
You don't?
But it's been very expedient at keeping me off the streets and rather comfortable for the last few years. Become quite respectable in as far as that goes. What exactly are you trying to accomplish?
With what necessarily? You see that the Reverend is simultaneously very much listening and trying to give you a realm of comfort while feeling incredibly uncomfortable at the idea of you actually being a medium.
Do I, can I see that he is uncomfortable?
I am not hiding it.
All right, yeah. if you're uncomfortable with it, imagine how it feels to have dead people talk to you.
Well, I'm uncomfortable for mostly, I mean, I hold up the Bible. Well, everything that I know and what I've learned. Excuse the... I know you just asked me a question. Just one quick question back to you. Are you part of Blackwatch?
You don't know nearly as much about Blackwatch, but you've heard the name before. You know, they're like crazy people who say that they work for the government and who hunt ghosts.
Right. The ghost chasers.
Well, that response tells me you're not part of them. I'm pretty sure Agent Watson is part of them from what he was saying earlier. And there's a crate in the back with a big logo on it. So you being a medium, I just kind of grouped it all together. Okay. Well, let's put that aside. You asked me what I'm trying to accomplish. What do you mean?
What was that display all about? What do you want to know?
If you're able to reach out and talk and find information, can you do that with her now that she's passed, or is that gone?
Do you think I can just conjure up anybody for any reason?
You just informed me a couple seconds ago you are a true medium. I don't know what to expect of anything. I am a reverend.
Oh, no. I can. It's actually quite easy.
Oh.
Shut up. You spend a point of willpower?
I have one. I'm like, all right. Yes, but we're really putting ourselves out in the open here. Anyone could walk back into this car. I think we should make it quick.
Well, I can stand out there and look around and give you a sign if someone's coming.
What do you want me? What do you want to know?
I don't know. If we can find out who stabbed her, cut her, killed her. You know, what the deal was with the marshal. I don't know what you can figure out. This is all your territory. I'm just acknowledging that it's a possibility here. And I sincerely appreciate you trusting me with this.
Think nothing of it.
I will. And I turn around and I walk out the door and I keep an eye out up and down the hallway.
When he gets out of the room, I just slump and go, ay. I put my hands, I stand at the, like, just past the woman's head. I put my hands on her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And reach out to the other side.